Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to know your strategy for our lives and to be aware of the strategy of the enemy. So we ask now that your Holy Spirit guide us and lead us into all truth as you promised you would. And Father, it's in your Son's name, Jesus, that we pray. And everyone said, Amen. So again, we're doing the series Finishing Well. This week it's entitled, A Strategy to Finish Well. In order to finish well the course that God has given all of us, you have to understand there's a strategy from God and there's a strategy from the devil. When we think about strategies, I want you to think about this. If you're a man, it's easier. If you're a woman, it might not be. Concerning football. So when you're playing football in the Super Bowl of 2017, the Patriots against the Falcons, the Patriots, New England Patriots, they were down 25 points at halftime. It was 28 or thereabouts to 3. Now, that's an insurmountable amount to get in one half, be it scoring or coming from behind. But yet the Patriots, they say it's one of NFL's greatest comebacks, came back in these two quarters of halftime to win the Super Bowl. And you say, how could they have done that? Because it's almost impossible if the offensive team, that is the Falcons, kept up the same strategy that they were going from the beginning. But what happens is, as time goes on and you feel you got this big cushion in your life, you start playing a soft defense. You start playing more with not an urgency because you feel that it's in the bag. We got this one. And I suspect, along with other issues, that's what happened to the Falcons. They knew they were winning at halftime. We got this one. They'll never come back. But sure enough, they did. Now, for us as Christians, we start off well, and we might have a good foundation. We might have a good winning score in our lives. We're overcoming the flesh. We're overcoming the devil. And we're doing really well. But the Bible says, beware lest you fall. If anyone thinks he's above falling, he's mistaking it. He's getting soft. And when you start getting soft, you're allowing yourself to be open to lose the battle and maybe not even finish well. Paul, we know, finished well. 2 Timothy 4:17, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, and I have kept the faith. Paul finished the course. He fought the fight. Well, what fight are we talking about? It's a spiritual fight. Paul knew the strategy that God has given him, that there is an enemy, a spiritual enemy. Paul understood when he said in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes, his strategy. You see, when a football team is playing, there are strategies. There's strategies to win and score. And there's strategies to stop the opposing team from winning. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, what Jesus said, Jesus' words is the rock, not Peter, that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will build my church upon my word, and the gates of Hades would not stop it nor overcome it, but the church will overcome Satan. There is a battle going on. Jesus very clearly said the gates of hell. Well, was he talking literally just about gates? No, it's what's behind it. There's a spiritual enemy. There's an opponent. It's like a football game. Jesus got his church as the team. You're his team. I'm his team. Satan's got his team as well. And he's trying to stop the progression of God in your life and in every church. So if we understand that analogy, let me bring it a little further. Jesus is the coach. He's got the game plan. And he gives the strategy of how to come. In any football game, every coach must study the opponent. He must understand their strengths and their weaknesses. And for weeks, he looks at films to see how they attack. Well, Jesus doesn't have to look at films. He knows Satan. He knows he was an angel that he created, and then he turned his back on God and became a fallen angel. But Satan has a strategy. Paul said we're not ignorant of his schemes. So if Jesus is the coach, and you're the church, and his team is us, what's the playbook that Jesus gives us? What's the strategy that he gives us to overcome so that you could score in your life and be successful and the church can be successful? It's the playbook, which is the Bible. It's the Word of God with the Spirit of God. You just can't have the Word of God without the Spirit, because then it's dead legalism. But if you just run off the bat with the Spirit without verifying by the Word of God, you're missing it too. It's just as bad. You get heresies. You get all kinds of weird stuff. So Jesus is the coach. The playbook is the Bible. The team are the 11 players. It's the church. It's us. Now, as you know, with a team, you have maybe four linemen. You have a halfback. You have fullbacks. You have the quarterback. You have the receivers that go out to catch the ball. But if the team, the front line, is not holding the attack, then the play can never get developed. The quarterback will get sacked every time. Or if he's going to hand off the ball to somebody, they'll get sacked. So it's so important for every part of God's team to do their part. All it takes is one person not doing their part. Do you know, you say, well, I'm not that important. Do you know one of the most important people on the team is the goal kicker, the punter? Sometimes the team is won just by 3 points. He kicks the ball, he gets a field goal, and that's what they win by. Well, is he important? Yeah, you watch when he wins a game. You watch when he gets that extra point, how the teammates will all just get around and give him high five, because he's very important. He may not play a lot, but he's very important. Everyone on God's team must be able to understand that God's team is his church. And there's going to be an enemy that's going to come against it. It's a spiritual enemy. God has given, you probably already know this, everyone a part in his team. And it's by the prayers of the lineman that protects the quarterback. Quarterback is me. God has given me his word, the playbook, to speak it, to pass it on, to whatever God is calling us to do. But we work as a team. Can I get an amen? But if I'm not getting protected by prayer, if I'm not getting protected by slander or gossip, then I'm not able to function the way God would want me to function. And on the other hand, if you yourself is not following the Lord for whatever reason, then you're going to open up a hole for Satan to get into your life and get into the church's life. The men were doing a study the other day on Joshua concerning Ai. Joshua won, boom, took down the walls of Jericho by the word of the Lord. But then he got a little complacent. He got a little ahead of himself, and he didn't seek the Lord concerning Ai. Should we attack the next city? It's a small city, he thought in his mind, and wow, we could take it with a few dozen men. No problem, but he didn't seek the Lord. And so he sent his men in there to conquer because he was confident. He didn't seek the Lord, and bam! They all got slaughtered, those who went in. And Joshua tore his clothes off and said, Lord, what's going on? And you know what the Lord said? He said, get up. There's sin in the camp. So you see, the effect of that one person who stole from Jericho, Ai, not Ai, but his name was, what was his name? Achan. It was Achan. He stole from Jericho when God said, don't take nothing. But the issue was, Joshua didn't seek the Lord. He was overconfident. And he said, there's sin in the camp, deal with it. And they did, and Achan was discovered, and of course he was stoned to death, him and his family. And then God gave them the victory. So you see, God doesn't work just with one person. He works as a team. Can I get an amen? Amen. And if we lose that concept, if we lose the concept that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it, but we will overcome it. If we lose that concept of that strategy, that it is a spiritual warfare, then we lose. So what are some of the positive strategies now that we know it's a warfare going on? Well, just quickly, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that after the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter was saying that they continually were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one, when you come to church. Number two, the fellowship. It's so important to have fellowship with one another. The breaking of bread and prayer. That is foundational to win and a score, a goal for yourself and for the purpose that God has so that we can finish the course. Paul also knew this, and he said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, the body, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And it goes on. He understood that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, as we read in Ephesians. He understood that the weapons of our warfare are not chemical. They're not bullets. It's a spiritual warfare. This nation's in a spiritual warfare. It's not a political warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. Your life is a spiritual warfare. This church is in a spiritual warfare. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we have the teaching of the Word of God and we have communion. Paul emphasized that in Ephesians 6. Turn with me there in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against, here it is again, the strategies, the schemes of the devil. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood of people. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm, therefore. And he goes on to give this picture of a warrior in the army. And he says, gird your loins with truth and put the breastplate of righteousness on. Shod your feet with the gospel of good news. Take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. That's Jesus dying for you on the cross. Protect your mind against the accusations of the devil. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You got to cut that stuff off. When the Word of God says, as we sang that song, you know, if you say jump, no, what does it say? When you say kneel, I don't know, how does it go? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Say it again, how does it go? When you say, well, anyway, whatever God says, he was saying, I was saying, you know, when you say, you know, this, I say jump. You know, if whatever he says go in the water, I say dive in the water. So the point is this, that's our God telling us to be obedient to him. We can't win without obedience to the Lord. We cannot win as a team. We cannot win as individuals. There's an enemy who has a strategy for you to take you out and to take the church out, obviously. But it says here, put on that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with all prayer. This is also the weapon, prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So you see, you could pray religious prayers and not be in the Spirit. Well, I did my duty, I prayed. No, praying in the Spirit is getting your heart aligned with God. And if you're in sin, you can't do that. It doesn't work. Or if your mind is somewhere else, it's not going to get in the Spirit to pray. We may be able to bring religious prayers, but it's not in the Spirit. So it says, pray at all times for everyone. but pray in the Spirit and be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, because we're all in this together. If you lose, I lose. If I lose, you lose. Can I get an amen? Amen. So Jesus said this in John 10:30 concerning his strategy for us. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He's not saying there's a literal human thief. He said the thief comes to steal your faith, to kill you spiritually, and to destroy you physically. If he can get you and destroy you or me spiritually with our faith, you're going to start operating in the flesh. You might go out and start sinning and wind up getting AIDS, and then your body gets destroyed. That's his promise, to get you out spiritually first and then physically. That's why we need to always listen to the coach, Jesus Christ, to his word of God, and understand that we're a team and we need to strategize through the word of God, lest he destroy you or destroy me. One of the tricks of the enemy is to get a person thinking that, you know, well, that church is not perfect. I can't go there no more. I mean, I was there when I was a young Christian. It's like, oh, who are these people here? What do they think? They're holier than me? Meanwhile, I'm a tramp. You know, I come in self-righteous. And, you know, we think that. But as God develops your spirit, you realize, no, we're all sinners saved at the cross. It doesn't matter if we have personality conflicts, but we're all the same. And that kept me in church. Because if the devil can pry you out, if he can get you out of the covering as an individual, he's got you, because it's a matter of time. Trust me when I tell you that. So Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly, but the thief comes to steal, rob, and destroy you. You know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, we know the story. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, and he was tempted for 40 days. Who was he tempted from? He was tempted by the devil. He's a real spiritual being who's tempting. And it tells me in verse 13 of Luke 4 that when the devil had finished every temptation, he left Jesus until an opportune time. You see, he was tempting Jesus so he wouldn't fulfill God the Father's plan. Jesus, if he failed, we would not be here. If he gave in to one of those temptations, the sneaky temptations, hey, you hungry, Jesus? Come on, turn these rocks into bread. Feed your stomach. Show me that you're God. I mean, if you don't have discernment, you say, yeah, I'm hungry. I'll show you who I am. But that would be pride. It would be out of God's will. And he said to him, you know, if you're Jesus, if you're God, he said, come on, throw yourself off the mountaintop here. And let your angels get charge of you. It says in your scriptures here that he will put his angels in charge of you. But he never quoted the second part of that scripture, which said that he will trample on the head of the serpent. See, that was the second part of that scripture. I believe it's Psalm 103. I'm not positive. So he'll come as an angel of light to twist up your life with the scriptures. He'll try to get a little truth with the word of God and then get you off on a tangent, whether it be a prosperity teaching or whether it be, you know, God doesn't deal with sin anymore. That's old covenant type of stuff. Or God's not that bad of a person. He understands and he's not going to judge you. Listen, that's an angel of light stuff. Beware that Satan could try to get you to fall from your faith in the word of God. But he left Jesus, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Satan was willing to give him all of the kingdoms if you just worship me. Sometimes Satan will do that. You may not realize it. But sometimes you get something dangled in front of you. I'll give you an example. Let's just say you're singing for the Lord and you got a fantastic voice. Guess who's going to come along to try to get you to sing for them? Hollywood. Wow, there are many people who sang for the Lord in choir, and then they went into the world with their talent, and then they died. You know who that was? What was her name? Who? Elvis for one, and who was the woman? Whitney. Yeah. See, you guys know more than me. But there it was. I don't condemn her. I'm just saying, if you're not aware of what the devil is trying to do, he's out to destroy your spirit. He's out to destroy your flesh, your body. And how sad it is when people who sang for the Lord and all of a sudden the devil says, I'll give you the world. Now, he's not going to knock on your door and say, here, I'm going to give you the world, because then you'll identify it. But he'll put carrots in front of you. He'll send his team to get you and hear from you. And his team will come and say, you know, hey, come on, you could sing for the Lord and you could sing. The world needs to hear that beautiful voice. Come on. And by the way, we're going to give you this house. We're going to give you a contract where you can have millions of dollars. And people, if they're not committed to the Lord, they will say, hey, why not? God understands. You're done. Adios. We need to be aware of Satan's strategy in your life. Is there something in your life that's taken you away from your commitment to the Lord? You might say, well, it's just life. Well, beware. Be careful. Satan will take every Sunday away from you if he can. He'll try to take your kids out of church on Sunday if he can. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. They operate together. You need to be aware of that and hold on to the Lord and say, no, this is more important, and God will bless that. One of his tricks is, if he's not getting you in one area, he's got a long-term and short-term plan for your life, strategy. God has a short-term and long-term plan as well. God will work overtime to keep you on track, but he's given us a free will. And if we feel that we're moving in a tempting way, we need to cry out and say, God, give me grace. But if we don't and we just get hook, line, and sinker, you're going to sink. But he's got a long term. He left Jesus alone for an opportune time. Jesus was tempted all his life. It wasn't like just for those 40 days. All his life, Satan was coming at him through the Pharisees to catch him, to try to help him trip up. Why? Because if he would have had Jesus sin once, you and I wouldn't be saved. He had to be sinless, the sinless lamb. So Satan left him those 40 days for an opportune, underline that word, an opportune time, always looking, strategizing. Okay, you see, the devil's not omnipresent, but he's got his demons. It's a hierarchy. It's a spiritual hierarchy. And he has his demons, and when he has you in his back pocket, he doesn't put much pressure on you. Hey, I got this one. Let's go to someone else. But Jesus always understood. One of the temptations that Jesus had was from his own man, Peter. Jesus said, the Son of Man must be crucified and then on the third day rise from the dead. And Peter said, never, Lord. You ain't going to go to no cross. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. See, Satan influenced his mind. And he thought he was doing a good thing by saying, Lord, you can't go to the cross. That's too cruel. And sometimes we could think that way too and not allow God to do a work in someone's life. And we intervene and we intercept and we take over. But maybe God is bringing some pain or some chastening in someone's life in order to get them to rely on him. So Peter said, never, Lord. And the Lord said, get behind me, Satan. You are speaking the ways of the world and not of the ways of God. He was aware. Satan looking for an opportune time. Many other ways as well. But here is one way for you and I. We started well. You came. You're in love with the Lord. Wow. You surrendered. Jesus, I'm yours. You weep. You're sensitive. You see black and white. You want to get your family saved, your people saved, You're out there on the streets, whatever it may be, talking about Jesus on your job, and you're as bold as a lion. You have that tenderness towards the Lord. But then as time goes on, you could lose that if you're not careful. Paul warned, and he said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. See, they were chasing after these big name apostles, angels of light, Jesus said they were. You know, maybe there's something that's attractive to us, but we have to ask, is that attracting my flesh? Or is that attracting my spirit? And so when you start moving away from the simple devotion of Jesus, how it used to be, he was number one. You love him. It wasn't hard. You didn't have to get wrapped up in all of theology, though God uses that and God wants us to know the memory of the word of God. I totally agree with that. But if your heart is not singing songs to the Lord anymore, if your heart is not as sensitive to bad words anymore, if our hearts are just, you know, we have to say, Lord, I forgive me because I'm drifting, and he will heal us. But the Satan wants you to run away from the devotion. Do you know who also had that issue? Martha. Luke chapter 10, I'll read it. Verse 39, between Mary and Martha. That Mary, it says she had a sister called, that is, Martha had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. See how simple that is? But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of this serving alone? Tell her to help me. It sounds logical. But what did the Lord say? He said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you're bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We all have natural responsibilities. Martha had a natural responsibility. Jesus is not saying, hey, don't be a host. You have natural responsibilities. I get that. But at that point, she was going overboard. Her spirit was telling her, getting angry. If you're feeling overwhelmed by the stuff you're doing, naturally something is out of whack. You need to get back to the simplicity and sit at the feet of Jesus. Start throwing some stuff overboard. Just saying, Lord, you know, it may not, you know, hey, but I'm a people pleaser. I want to do the, yeah, okay, I get that. But Jesus is saying, no, look at your spirit. Look at your attitude. Look what's happening. Look at a Martha here. Martha, you're doing good. This is, we're supposed to do that, but you went a little bit too far, and your spirit is revealing that by you being angry at your sister, Mary, because she's sitting at my feet. You need to sit at my feet, Martha, because I'm your first love. And I hope she learned from that. I know that we all have to learn from that because we do have natural responsibilities, but be careful if you're doing too much. The second one would be a spiritual responsibility that Satan allows you to be spiritually involved in the church so much that you leave your first love. That's what happened with the church of Ephesus. He said in Revelation 2:2, I know your deeds. He says, man, you're on the money, Jack. He didn't say Jack, but he said, you're on the money. You know, you're teaching, you're discerning, you're doing everything spiritually right, and he commended them. See, when Jesus corrects, he always commends too. He said, man, you're on. But, he said, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, but I have this against you, that you left your first love. See, the devil will have a strategy, even a spiritual strategy. Keep going. Keep doing all of this. You're doing it for the Lord. You're working. You're hard. You're doing it. And you could start neglecting your first love. Hey, I don't have time for Devo. I need to do this. Trust me when I tell you, because I go through it all the time. But the Lord is so faithful, and he brings me back, because that's where my heart really wants to be. But sometimes you put the cart before the horse. Well, let me get this done first religiously, and the spiritual part of meeting the Lord and having fellowship with him and having a devo time with him gets put on the back burner. Am I alone here? Raise your hand if I'm not, please. The rest of you are liars. But that's all right. We all, many times, put God on the back burner. What's very important is God loves you. And I say that for me. And he will not allow us He will correct the Marthas. He will correct the church of Ephesus. He will correct you. He will correct me because he's jealous. He's jealous for your spirit, James tells us. He wants your heart so much. Why do you think he died for us? But you and me, the man himself, is always drifting to put material things first rather than spiritual. And Satan just rubs his hands together like a fly and says, yes, yes, you keep going, you keep going. But then by the good mercy of the Lord, he speaks to us. Maybe he's speaking to some of us today. Ask yourself, Lord, are you speaking to me? Because I sense something in my heart, and it's not as tender anymore. Strategy of Satan. Now, God has a strategy too. He tells me in Jeremiah 29, 21, he said to Israel, because they were in 70 years of captivity, and he's saying when you get out, he says, I got a plan for you. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare, which means peace and favor, and not for calamity, which means misery and distress, and to give you a future and a hope. You know, a hope is expectation. It's not I hope I win the lotto type of hope, but it's a bona fide expectation that's going to come to pass. He has a plan for all of us, brothers and sisters. And it's not for calamity. It's not for distress. It's for peace in your heart and in your mind. It's not for misery or distress. And to give you hope. You know, one of the saddest things is to feel hopeless. That's what hell is. There's no more hope. It's final. It's done. But while you're here on earth, God wants to give you hope, an expectation. Something to say, wow, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. That's his plan. That's his plan for you and me. But you know, Satan has a plan too. He doesn't want you to have that. He'll give you a counterfeit. He'll keep you busy religiously. He'll keep you busy naturally. But we're not ignorant of his schemes. Be aware. Jesus said, and I'll read it again. Remember that football analogy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they can have life and may have it abundantly. He doesn't say it's a done deal. He said you may have it. It's available. We can pursue it and trust his word, which is yay and amen. Or we could allow the counterfeit to come and start shaking you and baking you and pulling you out. And it's just a matter of time. God help us. There is a devil. There is a team that God has placed. And that's you and me. That's the church. It is a playbook. It's the word of God. You got to follow the word of God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's the word of God. As soon as a team gets away from the playbook that the coach has given, the word of God, and that the quarterback is implementing, there's going to be some craziness happening. A halfback is going to say, hey, throw me the ball, throw me the ball. No, that's not the plan. The plan is to run the ball right now. So there has to be what the word of God says. You know, when there's a defense coming at the opposing offense team, a defense will try to mix up their defense so that the quarterback can't read it. So in other words, there are four men on offense protecting the quarterback to pass the ball. So the defense, instead of putting four, they'll have four men in front of the line, and then one of them will pull back at the last second to confuse what the quarterback thinks he has in his mind. And they'll set up a confusing defense in order to trick, at the last minute, the play that they think the quarterback is going to do. We have to be aware that Satan is cunning. Just be on your toes, spiritually speaking, or we will not finish well. The seed that fell amongst the rocks and the thorns, it held out for a while. But then it didn't. It fell away. I don't ever want to have that happen to me or you. So what is God saying to us? Next week, we're going to talk about the strategy of the world and the flesh. You've heard it said, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil we fight against. Well, right now, I'm bringing out the devil's strategy. But there's also a strategy against you and your flesh. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful part of life. And we're going to show Samson fitting that category to his death. Sad. He didn't finish well. But the Lord has given us his word to warn us. And he said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Don't take this as just lightly. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Resist firm in your faith. And then he says in James 4 and 6, he says that God gives grace, a greater grace. Therefore I say, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's very simple. Humble ourselves, resist the devil, draw near to God. He's going to give you grace, and the devil's got to run out. He's got to cop out. He can't handle you. He can't take you. But if we don't follow that, let's say we don't humble ourselves, well, I don't know. We don't draw near to God. And then he goes on to say, draw near to God. He'll draw near to us. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. I take that to heart. Now, I don't believe I'm perfect in my mind. I believe there are residue from the old man that pops up. But I have a choice. Temptation will come, but I have a choice to either follow that temptation, follow that double-mindedness. Well, one day I say yes, the next day I say no. I want both worlds. You're not going to live. Devil's got a long-term strategy. Funny thing is, we're instantaneous strategy right now. You know, everything is have it your way. Go now. You know, McDonald's, you know, you're waiting more than 2 minutes and you know, it's amazing. Even in Dunkin' Donuts, when I go in the morning, they have, you know, people have these apps and they text in what they want, and it's waiting for them when they come. So I'm waiting online, and all of a sudden I see them working on this person who just sent an app. It's like, huh? I've been here 5-10 minutes, and they're getting first. Well, that's the way it is, John. Either you get an app or you shut up. One or the other. So you deal with it. But we need to be careful. He said in Ephesians 4:26, even concerning our lives, be angry and do not sin. You know, you can be angry and not sin. You can have a righteous anger. But then he goes on to say, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? You're going to give the devil an opportunity. Because it'll ferment. You'll get hard. You'll get bitter. And it ferments, it grows, it grows, it grows. On the other hand, holiness grows too. You start planting seeds of holiness, it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and you start getting victory in that area. But I want to close with these thoughts. Turn with me to Revelation 12 and verse 10. Since you heard that there is an adversary, you're not ignorant. You're following the rules that God has given us, the playbook, the word of God. You're working as a team. We're looking all to score points. We're keeping our temples holy. We're not going to become an Achan because it'll affect everybody. But we understand your position is very, very important for the success of scoring an abundant life for you and for everybody else. So he tells us in Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, and he who accuses them before God day and night, who is that accuser? The devil. And they overcame him, that is the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb, number one, and because the word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Well, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. That's the word of my testimony. So I overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. He paid in full for my sins, and my testimony verifies that when I speak it. And I overcome Satan when condemnation comes. And it says here, and they did not love their lives even when faced to death. I know it could be speaking physically, but I'd like to turn it into a spiritual. Jesus said, if you love your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you find it. That's how you overcome Satan. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you as an individual, as a church. He's got a plan for you in your marriage. He's got a plan for you in so many ways. And his plan is to destroy you, your faith, and your body eventually. But we are not ignorant of his schemes. We put the armor of God on. We pray. We fellowship. We carry the word of God as the sword of the word of God, as the spirit of God. And you just continue every day to love the Lord with your heart. And when other things come in to take you away from that simplicity, that simple devotion to the Lord, let a check come in your spirit and say, wow, I'm putting recreation ahead of fellowship. I'm putting recreation for my kids ahead of Sunday school for my kids. Ah, that's a tough one. But the world is getting, give me your kids. And I got the next generation. But it starts with the parents. Here it is. Romans 8:1. We're going to have communion in a minute. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life, faith in Jesus Christ, has set you free from the law of sin and death. If you have accepted Christ, you are set free. The devil will try to get at you, but if you follow the rule book, you will always score points. You will always become more like him and have an abundant life. Follow the rule book of his word, and you will win. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. For your word tells us we're not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. And we too want to always remember to fight the good fight of faith, that it just doesn't come natural. We just don't sit by the sidelines and it'll happen. But you have a plan for us, and so does the thief. Both are active. Keep us on point, Lord, when it comes to being tempted, rationalizing, making excuses, whatever it may be. And if there are areas of darkness in our lives, let us bring it to the light so that we can get healed, so that we can be set free again. So, Father, you are our God, and you have given us your Son, Jesus. Nothing better could have happened than you giving us your Son, Jesus. And, Lord, you died for everyone in this world, but it's a free choice. And if there's anyone here right now that wants to accept Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord, just say, yeah, that's me. Raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Amen. Just say amen. God bless you. The word of God is always true. Pray this prayer. Father, believe in Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. You're the final word for my life, and I am so happy that you are. Now fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.